Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. So glad you've joined us today. My name is Steve. I'll be your host for the next 3 days as we discuss newsworthy clips. We are trying to help you update your vocabulary with some news clips that we've chosen from different sources around the world. In the studio with us today, we have Lois. Welcome, Lois.
Well, thank you for welcoming me, Steve. It's great to be here.
We love having Lois in the studio. She's always full of good opinions and always has something good to say. We like that. And also with us is Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hi, Steve. I'm glad to be a part of the team today.
Yeah, we like having you as well. And today we're going to talk about work. And when we mention the word work, often people groan, right?
Nobody
likes to get up early, travel. We're just talking before about being on buses and trains for an hour to get to work.
Right.
So most people, I think most people view work negatively. What do you think, Lois?
I don't know. I think maybe it's half and half. I think maybe media makes us think that way, you know, thank goodness it's Friday,
right.
TGIF, that sort of thing. But I think if you've had a period ever where unexpected unemployment has come your way, you realize what a blessing work is.
That's right. What about you, Albert?
I have to agree with Lois on that. When I was unemployed for a little bit, I was like, oh, all this free time, pretty nice. But it becomes really a drag.
Monotonous, right?
Very, very monotonous.
Yeah, I think work is good for us. I think work helps to create our character, mm-hmm. builds character. Work is, in many ways, good for us physically, emotionally, and mentally. And we're going to see today that seniors, and we're talking about senior citizens, generally people 65 and older, who keep working when the world says they should be retired,
mm-hmm.
Are actually in better health than their counterparts who have retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go into the reading. We're on page 34 today, and let's start today's reading about seniors who keep working are healthier.
Seniors who keep working are healthier, study says. Is retirement hazardous to your health? It's an intriguing question in light of a new study that finds senior citizens who work are in better health than their counterparts who don't. Researchers from the University of Miami examined data on more than 83,000 Americans. All of them were at least 65 years old, and 13% of them were still working part-time or full-time. The majority of these workers, 61%, held white-collar positions. Compared to people with white-collar jobs, those who were unemployed or retired were 2.75 times more likely to report their health as poor or fair. Older Americans with jobs also fared better on more objective measures of health. For instance, the survey included information on serious conditions like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Compared to those with white-collar jobs, those who were unemployed or retired were 49% more likely to have a history of at least two of these health problems.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about people working. In America, I think retirement is something people look forward to. They save for it. They make plans for it. It's kind of their reward.
Mm-hmm, their payday, right?
Yeah. They've worked so many years and now it's time to kick back and relax and enjoy life, enjoy their grandchildren, travel, do whatever they want. But this study is saying something a little different. It's saying, wait, if you stop working, that might cost you something, right, mm-hmm. Lois?
That's right. Might be hazardous to your health.
That's right.
It's pretty strong statement, hazardous to your health. So
as if it will actually hurt your mm-hmm. health or hurt your body. Well, it's an intriguing question, the author says, in light of a new study. We are talking about those who work and those who don't. And researchers from the University of Miami, what did they do, Albert, recently?
Well, they examined data on more than 83,000 Americans. And then, at least when they're 65 years or older, 13% of them who are still working part-time or full-time, they seem to be healthier.
Okay, let's break this down a little bit. There's mm-hmm. a lot of numbers here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the original number that they surveyed was 83,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, I like a survey like this, Steve, because so often we hear of a survey of 1,000 to 3,000 people, and I always dismiss it almost right away. I think that's hardly anyone. Here with 83,000, we're looking at 83,000 people. We're looking at one nationality. We're looking at Americans mm-hmm. from one country. I think it sounds more legitimate.
I like what you said, because so often people do make surveys or take surveys and try to talk to people, but I forget what the number is, what they call that number, but sometimes the number of people is really low, even less than 500 mm-hmm. sometimes. And you can't get an accurate reading with so few people.
Exactly.
But the more people you ask and talk to, the better your results will be, right?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I remember back in high school, you know, my science teacher would tell me, hey, get a good sample size.
Mm-hmm. That's what
right.
I'm thinking.
Yes.
Sample size.
You got to get a good sample size. You know, there's a lot of variables, different values, different factors, and you have to get outside of your bubble almost.
Right. And I like that it's, you know, if you look at the United States here, if you go to several states, obviously they didn't just keep it in one state.
Mm.
I think you get a more accurate picture as
Absolutely.
Well, because each state can almost seem, depending on how far spread apart they are, like another country.
That's
You're right.
very true.
You're right.
Different eating styles, mm-hmm. habits.
Different ways of exercising, or
hobbies.
Do they exercise? Right.
Yeah, different climates,
yeah.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So 83,000 people, the sample size. 13%, I did a little math, and that's about 11,000 people.
Oh, thank
okay.
you.
So 11,000 people were still working part-time or full-time, and the majority of the 11,000 people, 61%, held white-collar positions. So 61% of 11,000 is about 6,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're talking about 6,500 people holding white collar positions. Now, we hear that term a lot, white collar workers. Lois, what does that mean?
Well, we have it today in our vocabulary focus. It says relating to people who work in offices, doing work that needs mental rather than physical effort. And we often think of it like somebody who works downtown in a city.
Okay.
They're a white collar worker. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who works in insurance. They're a white collar worker.
Right. They put on shirts, generally, that are white, right?
Yeah, and the opposite of a white-collar worker is a blue-collar worker.
Mm-hmm.
People we think of like farmers, people who work with their hands,
right.
coal miners. I know people who are blue-collar workers sometimes aspire to become a white-collar worker.
Sure.
Moving from to a bookkeeper position at a library.
Sure.
Yeah.
Blue-collar workers generally use their bodies more.
Mm.
They work in factories, and they traditionally, in years past, would go to work wearing a blue shirt, like a blue denim
right.
shirt or something
blue
like that.
Blue overalls.
Or blue overalls.
Yeah.
But in the United States, we have a lot of blue-collar workers who are skilled laborers. So we have electricians, or we have plumbers, or we have carpenters. And they're making as much or more than the white-collar workers.
You're right about that.
And healthier sometimes.
Yes.
And
yes.
friends, also, you may not know this, there's something called pink-collar workers.
Oh,
have you heard of that?
What is
no.
this?
It's something that people threw out maybe 5-10 years ago when I first heard it. Pink-collar workers are female workers who do, I don't want to say female jobs, but they answer telephones, receptionists,
secretaries,
that
kind
of thing.
Right, okay.
So it's called pink collar workers.
Oh.
So it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where my husband would fall with being a pilot. They wear a white shirt, but I don't consider them maybe a white collar worker.
No, I don't either.
I think they fall somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Gray.
Just call them captain.
Captain.
All right. Let's move on to line 11, where we're comparing people with white collar jobs. Those who were unemployed or retired, we find out that their health, they report, is not as good as those who continue to work. How do they report their health, Albert?
They report it as poor or fair, which is not good.
Okay, poor or fair. And this is something we're going to look more at later, but this is kind of a subjective answer that we're getting from these people.
Mm.
We're not scientifically looking and checking their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. We're just giving or getting an opinion. And they say, oh, it's not so good. It's poor or fair. But what does that mean? And compared to what, right? So we're going to learn more about that. Lois, take us into the next paragraph on line 14.
Well, it tells us here that older Americans with jobs also fared better on more objective measures of health. For instance, the survey included information on serious conditions like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease.
Okay, so remember we just talked about subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, oh, I don't feel good, but they can't really explain what it is. Here we're talking about objective measures of health where we can determine exactly what is wrong, and the older Americans with jobs had better health. We could objectify it. We can find out exactly what it is we're talking about. So, compared to those with white-collar jobs, those who were unemployed or retired were 49% more likely to have a history of at least two of these health problems. So, we're finding over and over that working is good after retirement age.
Yeah, it seems like for both mentally, self-like, their own opinion of their bodies, and measurable physically, they're healthier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I always call retire actually retire yourself. So now you're going to do something different. You might have a paid job, but you might have a volunteer job. I know every time I go back and visit Canada, I cannot believe how many senior citizens are doing significant work in volunteering.
That's great.
And they couldn't do without them. And these agencies will tell you that.
That's wonderful. I love to hear that. And we've often heard stories about people who retire after working, and their physical health goes down, their emotional state goes down, they become depressed. And all of this, I think, is connected, right? We call it psychosomatic. It's mental, and your mental affects your physical, and your physical affects your mental, and it's all one downhill slope after people retire. Why would that happen, do you think, Lois?
Well, sometimes I actually think you've been listening to negative stories so much. And so people are telling you, oh, you're going to find retirement so hard, or it's such a big adjustment, or you won't like having your husband or wife home all the time. I've heard that. Now, I have heard a good thing, Albert and Steve, that you actually, as a married couple, don't retire at the same time.
Don't do that. Okay.
So one of you retire, or maybe one of you work part-time and the other one be home, or that it's actually quite detrimental to both stop, like just stop at the same time.
Because why?
Well, because you're kind of like, what do we do now? We've had it this way for so long, and maybe we haven't planned well enough.
It's a hard adjustment.
Yeah. I think going back to your question, Steve, I can kind of see it myself right now. On weekends, when there's no goal or drive to wake up in the morning, I don't have to go to work in the morning on a Saturday morning, right? I just sleep in. Sometimes maybe I'll sleep till 12, past lunch, past breakfast. And I mean, I can just see if someone was retired, you just take that and multiply it day in and day out.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's unhealthy.
I agree. And for many people, their job is such a part of their identity for so many years.
Right.
And it gives them purpose
right.
and meaning, and it gives them a reason to right. wake up in the morning. And when you take that away, they're like, who am I?
Mm.
Why am I? What's my value now that I don't have this job? What's the meaning of my life?
Right.
And that could send them spiraling down into a depression.
Exactly. Right. I think that's why here at Advanced and the rest of the team at Studio Classroom, we're always teaching the balanced life.
Mm.
So you have something more in your life than work. I have a good line that somebody back home says, don't make your work your hobby, because someday your work will be gone.
Yes.
So you have to have other things.
That's right. You have to find identity outside of mm-hmm. your work. Yeah. Okay, good topic here. Friends, let's move on to the right-hand column on page 34 and finish the reading.
Finally, interviewers asked whether people needed any assistance or special equipment to do things like stand, walk, or climb stairs. Unemployed and retired seniors were 88% more likely than white-collar workers to have multiple functional limitations, researchers found. Being unemployed, retired, was associated with the greatest risk of poor health across all health status measures, even after controlling for smoking status, obesity, and other predictors of health, the study authors concluded. The results don't show that working past retirement age is what made senior citizens with jobs healthier than their non-working peers. Indeed, the authors acknowledge that health problems force some people to drop out of the workforce. Still, understanding the health benefits associated with working past age 65 could motivate businesses to find ways to accommodate older workers, even if they have some limitations, researchers wrote.
Thank you, Lois, for that reading. We appreciate it. Now, we're talking about retirement, and maybe it's a myth that after you retire, your world will be great and everything around you will be just as you want it, and you're just going to enjoy yourself. You don't have to work and get up early and commute and deal with all the headaches of the office. That could be just a myth. There are good things about working. Now, Lois, please take us into the first paragraph. What's the author saying here?
Well, here we are reading that finally interviewers asked whether people needed any assistance or special equipment to do things like stand, walk, or climb stairs. Unemployed and retired seniors were 88% more likely than white-collar workers to have multiple functional limitations, researchers found.
Okay, so to break this down, the researchers are looking and comparing people over 65 who work and those who don't work. And those who work, we're finding, they're healthier and they can do more things like stand, walk, or climb stairs without assistance.
Right.
So it's more evidence, the researchers are showing us, that working, continuing to work after 65 is good for us.
Okay. Right. And, you know, I'm just thinking of something when we're reading this, too. There's a place on Vancouver Island, maybe several places in Canada, where they have seniors helping seniors. And it's for younger seniors, because when you retire at 65, that's pretty young still nowadays.
It is to me now, but when I was 15, I thought 65 was...
But now we have people living well past 90.
Sure.
So they have a program of younger seniors helping older seniors. And, you know, they're actually helping each other.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think it's just giving each of them purpose.
Yeah. Yep. Different cultures, too. Of course, here in Asia, seniors are viewed a little differently than they are in the West. And maybe they're respected more and given more attention. So that might play a role, too, depending where we are. This survey, this study, of course, is in America, if you remember, from the University of Miami in Florida. Okay, Albert, please bring us into the next paragraph on line 14.
Okay, so this paragraph, breaking it down, basically says that being unemployed or retired is the greatest risk of poor health across all measurable statuses. And even after you take into account smoking, obesity, and other predictors of health.
Okay, I like what you said on line 16, that word controlling. That's exactly what it means, taking into account or accounting for. So even after taking into account smoking status and obesity, the results are still the same. Workers after 65 are in better health than those who are not working. Well, the results don't show that working past retirement age is what made senior citizens with jobs healthier. So it's not going to make you healthier, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make you healthy if you're unhealthy,
mm-hmm.
but it's better, though. It's better for you to continue working after 65. Okay. Indeed, the authors acknowledged that health problems force some people to drop out of the workforce. So we're talking generally here.
Right.
Big, what we'd say, brush strokes,
mm-hmm.
right? We're finding the survey sample size was so many, 83,000 people. So
right.
This is generally speaking.
Right. And you know, when we do additional reading around this topic, which many of us do when we're preparing for our program here, you do see that, like I said earlier, working can be volunteer working because it's probably going to be difficult after age 65 in the United States or almost any country to have paid work unless you're self-employed.
Yeah.
But volunteer work can give people such fulfillment, and you can have a regular routine even with volunteer work if that's what you're looking for.
Right, and I feel like it's such a pity, at least in the United States, where it seems like a recent trend where senior citizens are viewed as second-class citizens, where people feel like, oh, they are not useful anymore, mm-hmm. which is totally untrue. I mean, if you go back to the Roman days at their peak, senior citizens were revered, respected. There were wise people that you went to for advice, and you asked them for, like, you know, how to do things. And I feel like when Lois was mentioning how in Canada they found other jobs, they may not be able to run a marathon or as fast as a young person. Maybe they can run a marathon, mm-hmm. right? But that doesn't mean they're not able to do other things as well or better.
Right.
Yeah. Not so long ago, I remember here at Studio Classroom, we had a man named Wayne, and he was a retired teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He was 65. He had retired in Michigan, United States. And after retirement,
right.
he came here to work for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I thought that was great. What a great model for the world that after you retire, you just don't go down to Florida and play golf every day, which is
right.
what so many people do.
Right.
The stereotype is you go to Florida, play golf.
Yeah. So Wayne, what a great example
he
for
was.
All of us.
He really was.
Yeah.
On that note, can I just mention every morning we will see Doris, who is 89 years old, and she drives to work every morning. She's here at 7:30 a.m., and she leaves at 5 p.m., and she's with us all the way through. She makes all the decisions. God bless her.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, in America, there are some, of course, opportunities
mm-hmm.
in Canada as
right.
well. All over the world, I
mm-hmm.
would say, I
yes.
hope, where there are opportunities for seniors to volunteer or work. I think of Walmart. Now, I don't know what you think about this giant of a store and corporation, but they do hire senior citizens,
mm-hmm.
and I applaud them for that.
And I believe Costco does as well.
Yes, they do.
I realize that when I'm back home Both in Vancouver Island and Toronto, I see that senior citizens have been hired at Costco.
I love to see that, and I love to be greeted by them when I walk into the door.
I know, and they're so helpful. And I just think of so many places where even senior citizens are used in my church back home. Mm. They're like greeters, or they're very involved with the much younger children. And I think it's wonderful.
I do, too. I do, too. So, friends, I hope that gives us something to think about when we think about retiring. Maybe to think twice, and if you are planning to retire, to make some plans. Mm. Don't just have that goal set in your future, and then when you get there, you're like, well, what do I do now?
Right. Right.
Okay.
And you can involve your own parents who are retired. Do that. Give them little duties to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I feel like, friends, don't think of it like a limiting, but a start of a new chapter.
That's right. All right, everybody. We are out of time. So glad you've joined us. Please join us again tomorrow when we continue to talk about our bodies and our minds. Until then, my name is Steve, and for all of us here at Advanced Studio Classroom, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you.